This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Who's more likely to win more games next season, Caleb Williams or all other rookie quarterbacks combined?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'll still take the rest of the field because you know these teams don't sit these quarterbacks anymore. 2022 had 71 different ones. And 2023 had 67.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, host of NBC's Weakest Link, actress Jane Lynch. Plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. The NFL owners meeting is happening here on this day in South Florida. Tom Pelissero just chimed in from it. There's a ton of rule changes that's being voted on right now. All AFC coaches met with the media today. Sound bites are tumbling in. The NFC head coaches are meeting tomorrow. Sound bites will no doubt tumble in there. General managers are strolling around in front of microphones as well. Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Chicago Bears, will be on this show tomorrow. Same thing with DJ Brand Jr. Your guy, right? You love him, don't you?
I mean, like I said, I love that the big man is coming back and
It is indeed.
In the world of sports, you know. You got the big guy from Purdue. That kid is just a beast.
DJ Burns listed.
DJ Burns,
6'9", 275.
DJ Burns,
listed,
right?
Listed 275.
I don't think he's
6'9". DJ Burns, man.
I don't know anything. He's 275, all due respect.
I don't know, right? Well, we will ask him. We will ask him.
I think DJ's three bills small change, as they used to say back then.
It's pretty cool.
Well, great. He looks awesome.
And in terms of how big Edie is, we're going to talk later on about that. There's a fascinating soundbite on that front. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's take one right here. Paul in Orlando, you're here on the program. What's up, Paul?
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on?
Hey, so earlier in the show, I heard you mention Hard Knocks and how you'd like to see the Steelers on there.
Big time.
That would be an interesting story.
Big time.
I agree. I think that would be awesome. I also agree that the rules are pretty much completely made up. They can do whatever they want, I feel like. And it got me thinking, like, just what other teams would you want to see on there? They would never do it, but I think Cleveland has a lot of interesting stories going on as well. They would just never do it because of the level of controversy, but like Jameis was electric when he was on Hard Knocks back with the Bucks. You got Nick Chubb coming back, and the whole season was just a roller coaster. So I don't know, just got me thinking, like, what other teams?
Well, listen, again, and thanks for the call, Paul. I mentioned how the Steelers, I would love to see them on Hard Knocks these days. Hard Knocks and teams saying, you know what, we're gonna do it because we want the spotlight, or we like the idea of having our guys sort of on their P's and Q's and on their toes, even though NFL films would not appreciate that being the reason why you're having them in, because they're happy to be the fly on the wall. And trust me, there's all sorts of technology that can be employed where you don't even know somebody's in the room, you know? And then clearly teams are standing in the goal crease to make sure nothing gets in the net, you know? They're, you know, I remember the Raiders Hard Knocks when Antonio Brown was there and everything like that. Yep. I mean, Mayock was standing in the goal crease like Dominic Hasek, just standing on his head, blocking pucks from getting on the air.
We never even saw that Josh happened. Jacobs.
I mean, that happened a lot, man. So, but that said, is you do still see some shows that are very compelling, like, say, you know, the quarterback series, right? That NFL Films helped produce along with Omaha. That's now going to be the receiver series on Netflix.
Yep.
I mean, there are ways to do it. Just teams are now going to have to be compelled to do it. And the Steelers don't fall into the criteria of being compelled to do it. You've got to be on the outside looking in playoff-wise for quite some time for the NFL to basically say, you must do it.
No first-year coach, and you haven't made the playoffs the last 2 years.
Right. So
right now there's only three teams that fit that. It's Bears, Broncos, Saints.
Well, I think the Bears are about to be on Hard Knocks.
Seems like it.
The Bears.
Right.
Because other than the Steelers, as I mentioned, I'd love to see the Steelers and Tomlin. I'd love to see Tomlin talk to players. My God. Trust me, folks. You'd love to see it too. You'd love to see it too. You'd love to see Tomlin talk behind the scenes and just be Tomlin behind the scenes. You would love it.
You'd run high on my damn agenda.
You would run through a wall. You really would. And I know everybody who thinks that I'm in the tank for Tomlin and the national media is in the tank for Tomlin is because we've been cast under his spell when we're talking to him off camera. It's legit. I mean, this guy is the real deal, and I love him. I love him. And players love him, and Russell Wilson's going to love him, and I bet you Justin Fields is going to love him. Kenny Pickett didn't. I know that when it came down to it. But that's why I'd love to see the Steelers. I mean, Russ going to Primanti Brothers with his wife, you know, and his kids. Justin Fields.
Black and gold. Here we go.
Trying to get to the starting gig. I mean, trust me. I'd love to see it. Najee Harris. Oh, my God. George Pickens. T.J. Watt. Cam Hayward. Now Patrick Queen. Come on now. I'd love it. And I think everybody else would too, but they're not compelled to do it. And if there's any other team outside of it, I'd love to see the Chiefs, clearly. And I remember one year, I think the Ravens were the first Hard Knocks. Were they the first Hard Knocks? When Brian Billick said, look, bring them in here. We just won the Super Bowl. And what better way to keep the guys, you know, fresh than to say, okay, you're going to be under the eye of NFL Films and HBO and Hard Knocks. I think they were on the...
They were the first one in 2001.
Right. Yep. To repeat. Yep. And I'd love to see the Chiefs do that. Yep. You want to see Kelsey behind the scenes? Maybe you catch a glimpse of Taylor Swift? Seriously, HBO would love the Swifties to tune in every single week. But if the Bears can be compelled, that's all she wrote. That's it. End of story. I mean, Caleb Williams and seeing everybody else that they have there. Now, that's get ready. And Ryan Poles is on tomorrow's show. I can't wait to ask him, hey, you ready for your Hard Knocks? Close up. Who are the other two teams? As soon as you said Bears, I didn't even listen to the other teams.
Saints and Broncos.
Yeah, I see you.
They'll be like, well,
the Broncos aren't
down.
A bad choice.
They don't have a quarterback.
That's true. I mean, listen, Caleb Williams, any story.
We know who's going to be the Bears quarterback.
Over, and everyone else. Yeah. So. And clearly another Hard Knocks, you know, as we just went through the Hard Knocks teams that I'd love to see, and Steelers being one that needs to be compelled, and the Bears being one of the teams that can just be compelled, and they've got to do it, and that's the team that's going to be, get ready, would be the Chargers. We're going to see Jim Harbaugh back in the NFL, and then, of course, seeing him behind the scenes with Justin Herbert would be great. Just to see him try and connect with his new quarterback, and apparently he connects with him quite often. Jim Harbaugh speaking today at the owner's meeting about his quarterback and his relationship with him.
I've been talking to Justin every chance I get. Any reason I can, you know, get to, you know, call Justin, just check on, you know, how things are going on the ranch up in Oregon. You know, I love hearing stories about that. Talking about, you know, Cadence, putting in the schemes, offense and defense. I know, and Shane Day's had multiple conversations. Justin's been in. He's gotten a few workouts in. I think that's hitting him really good. So, yeah, just that interaction. I just like hearing how his day's going.
Maybe Justin has the lava lamp.
Oh.
Maybe Justin bought the lava lamp from the garage sale from afar.
We can't have the lava lamp. But we want it in good hands. We know it's in good hands.
Well, we know it's not going to be in ours because Jim let us know that it was sold at his garage sale.
That's so sad.
So in between garage sales and the pro day at Michigan and other things, getting ready for the draft, he's checking with Justin Herbert.
All the time.
Hey, Justin, what's going on?
Hey, you good?
What are you watching? Anything? What are you doing? What you up to?
Catching up on the coast.
How's the workout?
Texting him.
One of the craziest things.
Is Jim a meme guy? Is he sending Herbert memes?
One of the craziest things
on Instagram back
I have seen over the last couple of weeks.
They have a group chat.
And I'll see it. I'll see it on my X feed or wherever the hell else I'm out there, you know, surfing. That is it possible that Jim Harbaugh would take J.J. McCarthy fifth overall and send Justin Herbert away?
Somebody actually said that?
Dude, I've seen it. Well, because two things. One, he keeps talking J.J. up. And one of the reasons why he talks J.J. up is because
that's his guy.
Yeah. That's his guy. But if you just want to give even just a hint of an ulterior motive, is if J.J. gets pushed up, that's four quarterbacks in a row. You know who gets the first overall pick in the draft if that happens? Him.
Right.
And if they want to trade out of five, that's another way to put it. So it's a dual thing. It's a win-win. Keep pushing JJ up because he's your guy. He's your each other's spirit animals. And then if there's four quarterbacks in a row, guess who's got the first overall pick in the draft or would be willing to trade it? Him. And also the other reason is not just because it do you remember when Pete Carroll went from college to the pros and everybody thought that he was going to go get, was it Taylor Mays? Remember that?
Yeah.
And he went Earl Thomas and everyone's like, what? You're not getting your safety from USC? He's like, no. That's history.
Yeah, that's in the past.
That's history. I'm now building my roster with who is my guys professionally.
Sure.
And everybody ascribes that to Jim as well. But in all honesty, too, a lot of Charger fans are freaking out that, okay, Keenan Allen gets traded. They just said, that's it. We're done.
Bag of
he's
balls,
gone.
Basically.
And then Mike Williams, they let him go. And Austin Eckler, and he's gone. This is Jim was asked about Keenan Allen today. This is great. Jim Harbaugh's back in the NFL, people. Check it out.
It's the business part of the NFL. And everybody does what's best for them. You know, Joe talked about it last week. But it's just very transparent. I mean, that's why you love the NFL. I mean, it's the business part of it. And everybody does what's in their best interest. And Keenan? I mean, make $23 million a year and play in Chicago. You know, who's got it better?
Who's got it better?
Nobody. He's referring to Joe Ortiz, the new general manager of the Chargers. Listen, I'm Charger fans. And I'm
Get rid of Herbert is nuts.
That's not going to happen.
I know, but the fact that it's out there.
I think some folks are a little bit twisted around here. And it's just... Like when Jim took the gig, all you heard is that the roster is going to have to change because it's expensive and the cap will not allow everybody to be there. And they said that, you know, they try to what get Keenan to either take a new contract with a cut. Whatever it is, Keenan was just like, no. And they're like, okay, we'll send you to a new spot. And man, I mean, the Bears have got to be jacked up about that. And Keenan Allen's one of the best receivers in the game, but $23 million for a receiver when you need to make some choices. They made choices with Bosa and Mack, right? They kept those two guys.
Those guys restructured.
They told Austin Eckler straight up, like, listen, the way that, you know, we're going to play the game, that's not, you can't offer it to us as a player. And in case of, you might think that's insulting, Gus Edwards is the guy that they went ahead and got. Like, that's what they're going to hit you in the mouth. They're going to roll downhill and hit you in the mouth. They're going to get that fullback going, and that's going to be the way Harbaugh's playing.
They're going to run play action, and right. Herbert's going to go up top.
Now, let's just say, then why are they getting Blake Corum? You know, if not Eckler. I mean, they're similar in physical stature, but Blake Corum's more of the cowbell than Austin Eckler, to be very honest with you, and obviously I'm biased. As you know, Blake Corum has told us last Friday after his pro day that his first top 30 visit is with the Chargers.
We love Austin Eckler. He's just we not do a too. Power, but, you know, but I'm also, to carry back.
I guess I'm working my way to my ultimate point here with Mike Williams as well. And I say this with the ultimate of respect because all three of them are terrific players and they have been terrific players for a lot of fantasy teams. But put them together. How's that worked out for the Chargers? How's it worked out? How's it worked out for him? I know there may be a particular individual on our Rich Eisen show staff who might be sitting at home right now saying, you know, that I'm out of my lane here. Our diehard Charger fan, what's up, Smitch? Really, like how's it worked out? How's it worked out with Keenan and Mike Williams and Austin Eckler? And yeah, I understand that the wide receiver position is definitely defrayed when you're talking about it in these terms of seeing the two guys that you let one walk, one trade away, and another in a running back walk. How's it worked out? So Quentin Johnston's going to have to grow up fast, right? And I understand anybody else who's left there is going to have to grow up fast and make some plays. Let's see what they do in the draft. Let's see what they do in free agency between now and the regular season. And we'll see if the narrative is going to be in October, boy, Justin Herbert misses his weapons. And Jim overplayed his hand. And the offense that he's bringing with Greg Roman is just like watching paint dry. And Justin Herbert had it better prior to Jim. Or Jim and Roman will bring a different style that will suit a little bit better for Justin Herbert. And the receivers that they have will make enough plays. And defensively, they're going to give Herbert the football in better positions. And he will have some options offensively. That, Keenan Allen won't be there with his 19 catches for 150-yard games. Mm-hmm. They may miss that once in a while, but let's try something else. How about that? Try something else on for size. You're giving this guy $16 million a year, and Jim, you trust. Am I wrong saying that?
No, they need to get younger.
Seriously.
They need to get younger and faster.
But look,
$23 million for a receiver in his 30s is just...
too much. Can't do
well,
it.
Well, you can if you're the Bears, and for the Bears, it makes sense. Bring him in with DJ Moore for your rookie quarterback. Let's go. And certainly in Chicago, where you haven't had one of them like forever. And maybe it's a better fit for Keenan Allen. And I know it sounds crazy because Justin Herbert is all that and a biscuit. But has it worked out in Charger land with everybody together?
But by you saying that, you can understand why some people might have said what Chris said, which is start from scratch even with Herbert. I'm not saying to do that, but just by what you said, I can see some Charger fans going, look, this isn't working. Herbert put up a lot of sizzle, like you said, no steak. Now he's going to have to start again with no receivers and guys he lost.
I think the issue is, and again, I'm speaking for Charger fans here, is that team's been great. Team still can be great. It's just the coach has just been the issue. It's been the issue. You know, Anthony Lynn wasn't the guy. Certainly when you're drafting someone like Herbert, then you get somebody in like Brandon Staley and just weird stuff. Remember when we asked Brandon Staley when he first called into the show, like, how are you going to fix the Charger weird stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And he basically is just like, come up with your plan, stick with your plan, win the games, give guys a better idea of what to do during a game, and you'll be fine. And just weird stuff always happened.
Factual.
Always happened from... not taking the tie in Las Vegas where you're sending both teams to the playoffs to say, we're going to try to win, and then you lose, and then you're out, and the other team goes. And then fourth down and fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. Over and over and over again. Until the final nail in Las Vegas, getting blown out on Thursday night by a team that was toast. With all due respect to you Raider fans out there. So the idea would be, just add Jim. Same roster, add Jim. Now we're golden. So now you add Jim and he blows up the roster. And a lot of folks are like, well, what are we doing? I thought all we had to do was just add Jim. We're giving him $16 million. Well, Jim has his own ideas of what to do with the roster. Certainly when there are decisions you have to make at certain positions with the age that they are and how much money they're making. Maybe that just in the same way that the Giants figure, well, we don't have to pay Saquon. We'll just plug somebody else in. And I know that doesn't appear to be working there. Probably a good idea for me to use this as an analogy. Maybe in Jim's offense, you don't need somebody who's going to be paid $20 million at wide receiver. And you might sit there and go, well, how the hell are we going to beat the Chiefs with that? Just wait.
More likely to make the playoffs. Chargers or Bears?
Chargers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
That Bears division is going to be...
it's not just that. It's a rookie coming in with a whole new... everybody's going to have to learn how to play with each other.
Doesn't matter. Stroud has ripped that up and thrown it out the window. That doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, but you're looking at, like, the exception, not the rule.
Well, the Bears have set things up in a way that looks, you know...
entering a better situation than C.J. Stroud entered last year.
One would think.
Hey, Brockman, you were putting some respect on Tank Dell's name.
Dalton Schultz is the...
Tank Dell, this time a year ago, no one ever heard of him.
Yeah, right. Sure. Dalton Schultz is the commit, right? And what? Keenan Allen is the Nico Collins? with all due respect, and DJ Moore is the Tank Dell or the Robert Woods or
way better situation.
I know that. I know that. A lot of people might be like, "How dare you even get?" But I'll still go with Jim coming back, knowing his system, plugging it in, and being Justin Herbert's spirit animal and unlocking him in a way that doesn't matter that there's different receivers. That's all I'm saying.
Herbert has no playoff wins, right? His first 4 years. I think if Caleb Williams has no playoff wins in his first 4 years, that's an epic failure.
Well, and it has been here in Los Angeles.
But we still think
Justin
of Herbert
with all these guys that
but we still
everyone's
think of him as MVP candidate.
Justin Herbert with the guys that many Charger fans are lamenting is not here anymore. Zero. To the point, in comes Jim. Trust him, is all I'm saying. And yes, I am one of those guys that feels like when it all comes down to it, that man-made lake in front of SoFi Stadium, Jim walked across it to sign his contract.
Oh, jeez. So. A little biased here, aren't we?
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Phone calls. Overreact. Is that an overreaction? Oh. That's a great way to set up Overreaction Monday?
I can dance in the water and not get wet.
Yeah. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. With Indeed, everything hiring is all in one place, and it makes it so easy. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences each day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join the more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/podcast. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Title Transference aired October 27, 2004. Director James Marshall, writers Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer. I really like this episode, and I'm surprised that you don't like it as much as you thought you did.
I actually respect your opinion more than I respect my own in general. When you say things are good and I check them out, they are.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, so it's spring break for the kids, Coop is on a spring break trip with his seventh grade history class to Philadelphia in D.C.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's crazy. He saw the Liberty Bell yesterday. He sends a video and photographs to Susie.
Love it. Amazing.
And then he goes inside the Continental Congress, he shows videos and photographs. He shares them with Susie, and she goes, look what Coop just sent. I'm like, well, on the pay no mind list, right?
That's kind of messed up.
I'm like, so you're sending all this stuff to her? And I'm like, you know, I'd love to get this stuff. Well, during the commercial break an hour ago, I got a photograph from Coop. First one that he sent in Philadelphia.
A wink, can I guess?
What is it?
Cheesesteak.
Yes. How did you know? There it is.
Yes. Yes.
From Campos.
I know my man. That's why. I know my man.
He sent me a cheesesteak.
Oh, I know my man. That's why.
At camp. That's a good
place. By the way, I would kill for cheesesteak. Right now.
From Philly, give me the bread.
It's so good, is what you.
Oh yeah, please. I mean, come on.
Yes.
From Coop. Look at that.
I'd take cheese fries, cheese steaks, anything cheese
so,
from Philly.
Right that's now. What he sends me.
I love it.
I don't get the, you know, hey, isn't this great historically? I don't get like the, you know, the stuff from the history books.
That just shows that that's where your bond is with him, as opposed to his bond.
No, I mean, we've watched National Treasure together. You know, I mean, he's seen, you know, the Independence Hall bells and stuff like that together. And he sends that to Suze, but I get the cheesesteak.
Cheesesteak. Yeah.
That does look good. He says it tastes like a hamburger, is what he said.
Amazing.
So, I mean,
you can get Philly cheesesteaks anywhere, but Philly cheesesteaks in Philly, Philly
yeah, looking hot.
Nothing better.
Right. Any place. So, now are people going to start saying, oh, he went to the wrong place?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, where did he go?
Yeah, cheesesteaks. Yeah. Philly people take the cheesesteaks.
That's what I'm saying.
No, where did he go again?
Yeah. Campos.
Campos.
Yeah, you got to be a
target. Look at that, though.
I like Jim's. I mean,
good Jim's. Lord, look how that's amazing. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Wayne in, is that Frankfort, Kentucky, huh? Yo. Okay, what's up, Wayne? Right there in the heart.
Oh, no.
What's going on, Wayne?
How you doing, guys?
What's going on?
Wayne.
Time to let Calipari go, man.
Yep.
You know, no Final Four since 2015. One NCAA tournament win in the last 4 years. He's literally got the best college class year in and year out every year. They let Tubby Smith go for being mediocre with 20 win seasons 10 years in a row. And with this loss in the first round, Calipari now has a worse tournament record than Tubby Smith had when we were forcing him out of town. I can't understand why Mitch Barnhart still has his job with six coaching misfires in his tenure. Two other small things. Will Levis is your James Bond on the active rosters.
Okay.
Joe Spanos deserves everything he gets with losing records for taking San Diego out of or taking the Chargers out of San Diego. And your son is a boss for sending you a picture of chili cheesesteak.
Before I let you go, Wayne, thank you for. By the way, you clearly are a consumer of this show. If you're mentioning stuff from a few days ago, just as housekeeping out the door. You know, what did you make of? There was an interesting conversation on ESPN. I think it was Seth Greenberg, Jay Billis, Reese Davis, and Jay Williams, all talking about how Cal and Pitino are the only guys in college who could really coach Kentucky. And that Jay Williams, I mean, it would be a $30 million, you know, eating of the rest of the contract for Cal. And then no doubt that the type of coach that you would want, some sort of, you know, A-lister, would have an insane buyout. You're talking about like a $40 to $50 million potential decision to replace Cal with somebody I imagine would be worthy in your mind. Who would you want to replace Cal with, Wayne?
Well, I look at it like this. Our main rivals are Duke and North Carolina in the records department, and they both got at least two NCAA championships in the time since Calipari won one. We've got Gonzaga with nine Sweet 16s in a row. I wouldn't mind seeing Mr. Self come to Kentucky, but I'd also like to see, you know, a young guy, a guy that you know, that deserves his comeuppance. I mean, you know, let's be honest. When Pitino came to Kentucky, you know, he had a good record, but he wasn't Pitino yet, right? And then there's the outside possibility we could all dream of it. Let's bring Pitino back home. You know, he constantly talks about the fact that it was his biggest coaching mistake in his life was to leave. So let's bring Pitino back home. I think, you know, one of those ways is the way to go. You know, $33 million buyout, it's obvious we're never going to see that. The only way that we're going to, you know, logically and honestly get rid of Calipari is if he decides to retire or if he steps away on his own.
And I don't think he's going to do that, Wayne. And I appreciate the call. Thanks, Wayne. Call back. It was an interesting chat with Wayne in terms of Pitino going back to Kentucky. Do you remember that scene in Caddyshack? what Carl Spackler mixed his Kentucky bluegrass with? Yeah. It needs to be acquired.
TJ Plus.
For that to happen.
It's a little TJ Plus.
That just is not going to happen. And Bill Self, I can't even imagine what the buyout would be there. Did you see Bill Self also said?
He had a crazy quote.
He said after Kansas got bounced that, in all honesty, they were talking about looking forward to next year a month ago.
Yeah.
That he knew that they missed out on some players the year before, that the team wasn't. How crazy is that?
Bill Self buyout about 23 million.
Dude, it's just insane. The buyouts for the top coaches, Cronin and UCLA, look up what his buyout is. I bet you it starts with a two or it's close to it. It's insane. You know, that you would want to go get somebody else's major program head coach to go to Kentucky.
Yeah, $20 million for me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no way. There's no way. It would be a $50 million decision to tell Cal to go. That's why I'm saying what Jay Wright said last week, where, you know, the day and age of getting the young 17, 18-year-olds and saying, let's all play together like the Fab Five and win a championship, and then you can go off to the NBA. Those days are over when you're taking on teams like, in all honesty, you know, like the Oakland universities of the world, or what, Grand Canyons,
yeah.
Right? The James Madison, yeah, right? Like Oakland,
program like Duquesne,
right? Like Oakland's got a 24-year-old out there, and it's
San Diego State. They went the championship game last year,
right? And so some teams are going to be sticking together. And by the way, the NIL is going to have some players sticking around longer. You're going to have teams that are more cohesive in moments when rubber meets road, and you got to execute, and throats get tightened. Maybe he just needs to change his approach. I don't think he's going anywhere. You think he's going to leave Kentucky?
I don't think so.
I mean, he even said it after the game that maybe it's time for him to kind of change the way he recruits.
Yeah.
So I think
it's just a self-stock moment.
Especially someone who I said last week who was at the forefront of these one-and-done guys who come in, play a season, boom, out the door to get their riches. And well, Kentucky was a prime stop on that trade.
Yeah, I mean, look at the number of NBA players, not just run-of-the-mill guys, superstars who are in the NBA, who went to Kentucky, played for Cal.
2 years max.
Through the roof. I mean, I think a team of Kentucky players would win a tournament of, you know, a college tournament of NBA players.
Yeah, there's a lot of those posts going around Instagram right now. They would do all the colleges starting five, and you look at Kentucky like, okay.
Yeah, but that doesn't win NCAA tournament games. It doesn't.
But if they all were to stay there at the same time.
Mike, how many points would have been worth it for Kentucky against Oakland, you know, when Jack Oelke was throwing in all those threes? But can we get an extra three because we have Karl Anthony Towns killing it? Right.
Yeah. And
have you seen De'Aaron Fox? Do you see what De'Aaron Fox is up to?
And Devin Booker. You know what I mean? And
come on.
And on and on.
That's got to be worth at least 2 points, right?
Yeah.
No. Doesn't work that way.
At the state.
844-204 Rich, number to dial. It's overreaction Monday time, people. I think you need to hit it, and let's do it. Hit it, please. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there? Go for it.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Everybody good? Monday.
We're going to dilly, yo.
TJ got out of the house. Went to Staples on Sunday.
Yeah. Hey, you know this? Come on, dog.
What's up, dog?
Is that an overreact? Do I overreact to that?
Yeah. You shouldn't.
It's Clippers Sixers in town. Sixers, he's got to go.
Oh, I thought he was just getting office supplies.
Oh, no. Sorry.
Because you know it's called crypto.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's Twitter. It's Staples.
I thought he went out of his house to go to Staples. You get envelopes?
I picked them up on the way home, yes.
Okay.
They were handing them out.
So much NFL
toner,
draft
you get toner?
Talk, guys.
Sorry.
Ink
toner.
Ink anyway, I'm sorry.
Ink. Wow.
Yeah.
So much NFL draft talk. I've said it before.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I still think quarterbacks go 1-4. I'm going to say 5 go in the top 15.
Oh, I don't think that's an overreaction right now. I don't think, and it's kind of crazy. I went on radio up in Seattle, and you know, I went on Brock Heward's show and I said Penix is going to get drafted higher than people think, that he won't be around for the Seahawks when they draft, what did I say, 16? Is that where the Seahawks
are?
Yeah.
I originally had this 5 in the top 10 and I changed it.
Top 10 is not going to happen.
Okay.
Top 10 is not happening. Now that's an overreaction. Top 15 includes the Raiders.
Top 12?
Raiders are 13. Top 12 is where Mr. Kiper Jr., the real Mel, not the Mad Mel, was on the show last week, that he had Bo Nix going 12. Now, I don't know about that one, but Penix, you're hearing it's all about the medical exam and what that shows. And I understand the MRIs are already taken. Like, it is what it is. They are what they are.
He's played 2 years with this stuff.
I hear you. I just wonder if the Raiders are going to be in the mix for Penix at 13, or they just hold and get him in the second round. I don't know. That's going to be fascinating to me. But for this moment, I don't believe this is an overreaction. I do believe you're going to have four go potentially in a row or in the top 10. I think J.J. McCarthy's made himself a top 10 pick.
Top six maybe, right?
If I think so. Boy, that would be amazing if he winds up in New York. Holy cow.
Well, let's get to them in a second.
All right, what else you got?
I was listening to Sean Payton talk, and he was like, yeah, we might move up too. How about this? The Broncos, week one starting quarterback.
He's not on the roster?
Not currently on the roster.
I agree. I don't think that's an overreaction either. I think their week one starting quarterback is not currently on the roster. I would agree with you there. You know? Because also...
Jared Stidham right now is...
Jared Stidham, you know, let's just say the word when Jared Stidham's brought up, you don't hear the word pole position from Sean Payton.
Yeah.
You know, which is the two words being used about the quarterback Sean Payton sent away. So I would think that that's not an overreaction right now. You know, and we'll see on who else shows up in Denver. It would have to be Bo Nix or Penix for it to be a drafted player. I don't think Spencer Rattler is going to be the starting week one quarterback for the Denver Broncos. I just don't. So, and Sean Payton said that they're going through the process right now, and he didn't say it's Stidham's gig. You know, and we'll play that soundbite for you at top of the next hour, but I don't think this is an overreaction either. Chris, you're two for two. What else?
Let's talk Giants. Their commitment to Daniel Jones... it's going to cost Daboll and company their jobs.
I think they're just saying it because they know. They know whoever they draft and Drew Locke being on the team right now, they know that at some point this year, Daniel Jones will return to action and they're going to have to play him. They know it. But I'm telling you, everything I heard at the Combine, it was one of my top five rumors and I will stand by it. Even though the rumor I heard that Trey Lance was position option B for the
Vikings.
For the Vikings, if they didn't sign, or I would say it was option one of the top options for them is if they didn't sign Cousins, and that hasn't happened. But everything else I said is something that it's definitely Caleb Williams for the Bears. I also said you're not going to believe the Dallas Cowboys' definition of all in, and look what's happened. So,
why wouldn't they stand put at six, though, and take a wide receiver?
The other one that I said is that they are done with Daniel Jones. They do not believe he is the long-term answer. But for them to sit here and go, they believe in him, makes sense because they're going to have to use him. They're going to have to use him. Chris, TJ, he's going to play. I imagine, because when they get, if they draft someone at six, would that push him up automatically? I think Drew Locke would be the starting quarterback for the Giants in week one. I think Giant fans should get themselves ready for that. So.
What are they going to do at six? I think that's kind of
I don't know. It depends on what, it depends on how many quarterbacks go in a row. It depends on Malik Nabers is there. If Malik Nabers is there at six, I think you throw him in a Giant uniform on the spot.
Odell 2.0.
No, I think that's
Roma
what you
Dunze
do.
Would be
but
there
the reason
too.
Roma Dunze might be there too. But again, is JJ McCarthy available for them at six? Do they like Drake May enough that they go up and get them? And maybe we're talking about the Patriots in this spot.
Yeah, maybe.
What else, Chris?
We talked about all the rule changes earlier with Tommy P.
So that's an overreaction, is what I'm saying to you. That I don't think they're going to get it.
Okay.
Let it to get to the point that Daniel Jones is going to cost them their jobs.
All right, fair. All this kickoff nonsense. It's just time for the NFL to scrap the kickoff for good.
No way. No way.
You score points?
That's nuts.
You get the ball at the 25?
Now
here we go.
Sound like Larry David.
Like, what are we doing?
Dude.
What are we doing?
That 9-minute video that the Bears put out when Devin Hester made the
great, but
made
that,
the, made the Hall
league.
Of Fame.
That is a completely different different rules.
I think
all
what
the
they've,
rules, all the rule changes, again, it's just... You talk about player safety, but you want to add an 18th game. Like, just get rid of the kickoff.
Let's put a pin in this, and then when there's a ton of kickoff returns under this new rule this year, and it's exciting, and we're going to see it, And then suddenly,
I would be stunned if the kickoff becomes exciting.
I think it will be.
I'll be stunned.
I think you're going to see a lot of teams decide we're not going to give you the ball in the 30. We're going to pop it up in the air and we'll play. We'll play defense. You know, we'll play defense on this kickoff rule. The thing that I'm upset about is that the onside kick is pretty much dead. That's dead.
Been dead.
I know that.
What, like 2% recovery?
I disagree. That's an overreaction. Don't get rid of kickoffs for good. It's too damn exciting.
It was.
It's like a bases clearing triple in baseball. It's exciting. The whole fans, everyone talks about it on the spot. And maybe your defense special teams fantasy play becomes that much more valuable in your fantasy league, and you'll dig that too.
Get rid of it.
Now, what else?
You say get rid of it until an exciting, like you said, Rich. Until
sounds
it
like a basketball well, question's well,
once
coming.
Once a year, something exciting
Mike
happens.
Mike switched the music. What else? What do you got?
All right, let's talk NBA real quick. One of the Lakers or Warriors not even going to make the play-in tournament. Houston is coming, people.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Somebody, Steph, LeBron, out. Not going to make it. Play-in.
I don't think that's an overreaction. How far back is Houston? I didn't see the standings this morning.
Houston's on fire. They've won 8 in a row, and if you look at the standings,
they're a game behind.
They are
Golden State,
a game behind.
2.5 behind the Lakers.
Yeah.
Thank 11. You very much. Appreciate that. There you go. Yeah, I think you could make the case. What, that a team is one game out of the play-in tournament, knocking the Warriors out? Yeah.
We're talking either no LeBron or no Steph. I mean, when's the last time that happened?
I just like the fact that that means the Rockets and Warriors are going to be playing their players this week, right? There's not going to be some. By the way, are we?
I don't know. Less minutes
anybody,
for Curry.
This is, in all honesty here, this is just a moment for us. Anybody else out there playing NBA fantasy in the last 2 weeks where your team is just totally ravaged, where that suddenly there's injury management this and sitting that? I mean, everybody's sitting players these
constantly
days.
Constantly checking.
Oh, my God. So
the GTD.
Oh my gosh. All right. Good stuff. Oh, you got one more?
Oh, I got a couple more. Real quick. All four number one seeds are going to make the Final Four. Dominant over the weekend. Number one seeds.
No, they
dominant.
Weren't. Houston needed to hang on for its dear life. They were forced to overtime. They blew it at the end of regulation.
They were 13 minutes ago. I mean, come on.
I don't know about that.
All right.
I as you know, I've got UConn and then the 3-2 seeds making it. So I'll push back. I'll say that's an overreaction. It's only happened, what, 3 times in the last quarter century or even worse?
It's going to happen
longer?
This year.
What
else? The last one, we're going to hear from him later today. Gambling scandal is going to loom over Ohtani all season.
No doubt.
Going to have the worst year of his career.
I don't know about that. The guy can silo like anybody's business. We'll find out. I'll say that will be an overreaction, the worst season of his career. I think the Dodgers. Well, I mean, if he does, then his numbers will be down. How's that? How's that for a take? I don't know about him being suspended. I don't know. Let's find out what he has to say later on today. I bet you. How about this? My prediction of what he's going to say later on today will be: I was robbed, and I need some privacy in this time, and let the investigations play out, and I will be totally vindicated by the end. Thanks for being here. I will take no questions.
Oh, that'll be so disappointing.
I think that's what it's going to take.
Got to take questions.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. We also have, wait till you hear this Gerard Mayo bite. You're going to love your coach. Passive-aggressive Gerard Mayo coming up.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
I got an email today from the LenPenzo.com HR department. I find it really interesting. I'm an employee of one at this company, but somebody from the HR department sent me an email telling me that I had a raise. If I just opened the attachment, I could see how much my raise was.
Make sure you click on the links that are in there, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening wherever You listen.
Back here on the program, you have something over there, Chris?
Yeah, Mike, let's play the breaking news.
Oh. Here it comes.
Oh, and I see.
Breaking news.
What do we have?
So you called out Susie for only getting the museum picks, kind of.
I didn't call her out. I called out my son for only sending.
You took a shot.
He sends me
so
the sandwiches.
You got the cheesesteak. By the way, great, phenomenal.
Yes.
Well, your son has sent a food pick to your wife.
Okay.
Pretzel. Oh. Susie, a Philly pretzel. It looks amazing.
It does.
I need some mustard on that. Let's go.
See, why don't I get the pretzel?
Oh, so you got the cheesesteak.
I did get the cheesesteak. I did, but I think she did too. What's going on?
Oh, I mean,
did he get it?
Look at that.
He's eating like a king.
He's eating like a king.
Did he get whiz wit or whiz wit out? I need a
that looks wit. That looks wit. Doesn't that look like cheese on it?
I know, but are there onions on it?
Oh, definitely no onions.
Then he's a whiz without.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that the pretzel at the top right?
Yep.
With a bite in it?
Bite.
You got to turn on. Do you not hear that your mic's not on?
It is a pretzel.
Do you have that?
That looks good.
Oh, my God.
It's all delicious. I want all of it. Man. Get in my belly.
Yeah, his bite's out of the pretzel on top. By the way, that's him.
Have you received any information from people about what is where does this cheesesteak reside on the top?
Well, I put it on Twitter. Oh, there's been about 20.
Oh, yeah, someone said Angelo's in South Philly.
Responses. Yeah, I mean,
it's crazy, right? You don't want to wait in those waters.
Jim's is closed.
It's like pizza.
Jim's, Spartano's.
Yeah, Jim's is amazing.
Angelo's. Yeah. Somebody asks for your friend named Lenny Pickett.
Lenny Pickett. Lenny Pickett.
Tony Luke's.
Someone said roasted pork.
Tony Luke's
side
is
very
my
good.
Favorite.
Goodness. Outstanding.
That's John's favorite. Roasted pork.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network.
Man, oh, man.
844-204-RICH, number to dial.
Can someone send us cheesesteaks? Is that too much to just ask?
It's never too much to ask.
Just send us cheesesteaks. We'll take them from any place, really.
It's like,
well, now they got to be good places. I don't want no bum cheesesteak.
Look at bum cheesesteak.
Guys.
Send it to us. So we can judge for ourselves.
Honestly, it's beneath RES Consulting to ask for free stuff.
No, you don't get what you don't ask for. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Closed mouths do not get fed. We know.
I'll make you guys.
Well, you're going to be in Philly, right, soon?
Oh.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
What does that mean, probably?
Yeah, I will be in Philly.
Okay, very good.
TJ's going to WrestleMania in Philly.
Oh, great. Terrific.
That's what I mean.
So, hey, Chris, with each passing day, we're learning more and more about how things are going to be different with Gerard Mayo being the head coach of the New England Patriots.
Yeah. Remember,
he apparently received a little bit of blowback for saying, let's burn through some cash, is what he said, for free agency. Yeah.
Basically, the Patriots version of the Red Sox full throttle offseason.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's burn through some cash. And then, as you know, not many people accepted the Patriots cash. And that's going to be an issue for them while they rebuild and show that, hey, come on out here. And with all due respect to Jacoby Brissett, it might be more enticing for other quarterback situations to be to get a top-notch free agent wide receiver to show up.
Totally.
Because how long is he going to be? Are you going to go and get a rookie quarterback, or is Brissett really going to be the guy for how long? So that's an issue. And so he's like, let's burn through some cash, and some cash wasn't actually accepted. And he even said that today, like, hey, I'm a first-year head coach. I'm kind of learning, ha, ha, ha.
Right.
And then there's some honesty, man. I told you, he said, when he took the job, we're going to go and get the best player at the most important position, third overall. That's a quarterback. But he also said today, you know, hey, listen, we're willing to take other offers. If the Giants offer a song to go from 6 to 3 because they love Drake May so much, then you drop down to 6 and figure out the other stuff later on.
Yeah, I think so.
Because in the way that the Titans are building their team right now, let's go get Calvin Ridley. Took him from you, right?
Yep.
Let's go get L'Jarius Sneed in a trade for a song, but it's going to cost us a gajillion dollars. They're spending money like crazy on free agents, and the Patriots are not.
Well, and fans are seeing that, and they're being like, hey, what are we doing? We had the high cap space going into free agency, and what do we do with it?
Slow and steady, pal. Yeah. I would, if I'm the Patriots, it's not like, yeah, man. I mean, there's not many Jeffrey Simmons on the team. I mean, there's enough pieces there, right?
In Tennessee. Really good.
Plus,
Tennessee,
they have the quarterback. They have the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, James New England's Bond. Own Will Levis.
James Bond, yeah.
So I understand. I if I'm a Patriot fan, I'd want slow and steady winning the race. What are you going to just spend all this money in free agency just to win six games?
Yeah, it's not like we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, so let's just kind of rebuild.
And then plus, make sure if you do get the young quarterback, you make the right decisions in surrounding him, not only with the proper pieces when it's time on the field, but in the coaching staff. This is what Mayo had to say about Mac Jones. Oh, give geez. A listen oh, to man. The very end of this soundbite.
You know, Mac Jones came in and had a lot of success early on. We always talk about that jump from year one to year two and how significant that year is, or that bridge is to year two. And I would say it was a combination of things, you know, that really kind of hindered that growth in the second year. One thing I did learn about that that process was, as you continue to develop a quarterback, it's not only the players you put around them, but also the coaches that you put around this guy. Not only the coaches, but it can go all the way to the ops teams and things like that to support a guy who plays the, you know, most important position in sports. And to ask him as a rookie to come in is always going to be tough. And then you get to year two, you want to see that jump. You get to year three, you would want to see success like this, you know, just straight line. But realistically, that's not what it is. It's like a bunch of ups and downs. And I think just supporting a quarterback is one of the biggest things.
Yeah, he's dead on. I mean, it's the biggest blunder of Bill's coaching career is what he did to Mac Jones in year two, putting him with Matt Patricia as the OC.
And Joe Judge.
Like, what was that? I'll never understand it. More than not playing Malcolm Butler, more than all this other mysteries in the last 20 years, what he did to Mac Jones in year two was inexcusable. He basically ruined his career.
Well, in New England. Right, yeah. How about that? How about Mayo with just unvarnished? It's also surrounding him with the right up to the operations too.
Love it.
And that's Bill's bailiwick.
He's right. He's dead on.
All right. That's some of the stuff that Gerard Mayo is saying.
Now he's probably gonna go back and like, probably shouldn't have said that.
No. I mean, but if he's telling the truth and he's just like saying like this is my opinion while watching this all play out.
Yeah.
He had a front row seat for the whole thing.
Anyone with two eyes could see what was going on in that year and how much of a disaster it was.
Yeah.
It ruined the kid.
How about that?
It's a bummer. Mac Jones was a good player.
I don't mind the way that the Patriots are building. What are they supposed to do? Hey, Calvin Ridley.
Oh, you can't.
Let's
give
pay
him
you 90 million.
Yeah, you can't give him $25 million a year. Who's going to throw?
That's
him the
not
ball?
The way you build the roster. You build it. You got to build it from the inside out. If you're restarting, you got to get the offensive line done.
They did a good job re-signing key players.
Yes.
The roster wasn't great, but the defense was good. Bring those guys back.
Well, the defense is good too. Now
key
that's
guys on the offensive line.
Now that was always Belichick taking straw and turning it into gold. Now that I need to see out of Mayo, because say what you will about what he did with Mac Jones and all that stuff.
The defense was balling last year.
But they always do. They always do, and they always like first 2 weeks were just kind of, you know, try and figure stuff out. And then by week 16, 17, and 18, they're tough and they turn you over and they win games. You know? But the question is who's going to be the quarterback? And then how do you build it out from there? I don't mind that they didn't make a big splash in free agency. That's good. Draft and keep those players and pay them.
Somebody's going to give you a haul for number three.
Maybe
take
do that.
It. You got to.
Unless you fall in love with Drake May and you see that he's the guy.
Well, he had some nice things to say about Drake. Said the, you know, super high ceiling.
I know, which is also another way to say, come get him if you want him.
Yeah.
Jane Lynch in studio. Don't miss it. We're going to play Weakest Link with her. Find out who's the weakest link here. I think we know who it is.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. This is Dan Bespris, host of Fantasy NBA Today, a daily fantasy basketball podcast. We cover every box score from every game, every day. Plus bonus shows on buy low opportunities, players to stash, schedule analysis, and really anything you could need to smash your league into deliciously tiny pieces.
Catch the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, part of the Believe Network, on YouTube or wherever you listen.